from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I hate to admit it, but I don't think I know the name of that song or who sings it.
It is Roller Coaster.
Oh, now I know it.
No, you know the Ohio Players. Come on.
Yeah, well, I don't know the Ohio Players, but I know the song now. Speaking of, by the way, it's Josh Appel in for the final 2 hours of Hawk and Crowder. Taking it to the end of the week at 6 o'clock. Krantz's Corner coming up after that. Dan Day is here. Jimmy as well. Jimmy, I got to tell you something. I'm listening to the podcast the other day, and you had played a Limp Bizkit song to open up a segment. And Hawk had given you some kind of credit because I guess they were talking about the Limp Bizkit concert in the previous segment or something along those lines. And then later on in the segment, Solana chirped you for never listening to the show while you started the beginning of that segment with a song based on what the conversation was happening earlier. And I remember listening to it thinking, like, Jimmy, as Crowder says, put your meat on the table and stick up for yourself.
Well, here's the thing. When I played that song, it was by coincidence.
You shouldn't have said that.
I know.
But I
did say it on the show.
I'm just saying. I mean, you should give yourself some credit here and also listen to the show. I hope you're listening today.
Yes, I am listening.
Josh Appel, Dan Day, Jimmy in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana to take you up until 6 o'clock. Couple of, depending on your perspective, great guests to come today. Unfortunately, we couldn't squeeze in Drew Carter to today's proceedings. We only have 2 hours, which means two guests. So we got Adam Beasley of Pro Football Network coming up at 4:25. Bees covering the Dolphins, of course, for PFN. Dolphins play the Commanders, the C-Words, tomorrow in their second preseason game at Hard Rock Stadium. And then, fresh off of the United States men's national soccer team finally making a managerial hire, we're going to bring up our old friend Chris Whittingham in the 5 o'clock hour to talk some U.S. men's national team. We'll talk some Inter Miami and whatever else we get into. Witty, of course, a very good friend of mine, of the program. And so he will be our guest in the 5 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. First, we got some housekeeping to take care of. It's time for our stock market report, sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. All right. So, U.S. stocks higher Friday as investors closed out the best week of 2024. S&P ticked up 0.21%. NASDAQ added 0.22%. The Dow gained 112 points. And for the week, the S&P 500 added nearly 4%. Which puts the broad market index on track for its best week since November of 2023. NASDAQ up 5%, while the 30 stock Dow has improved 3%. That's your stock market report here on Hawk and Crowder. Some more housekeeping, but this one a bit more fun, a bit more related to what we normally talk about on this show. It's time, and before I get to it, I did have a wonderful lunch with the host of this radio show earlier today, Mark Hockman. And he said, wait till you get to the training camp report liner. And I said, well, I've obviously nailed every other read I've done in the past on this show. Most importantly, and most notably, was it Celsius read for the Panthers? I think I nailed that. So I have every intention and all the confidence in the world that I am going to nail this read. You guys ready for me?
Let's go.
I'm ready.
All right. This training camp report is sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. Are you ready to level up your career game? MDCPS Technical Colleges have got you covered. Choose from tons of programs, learn from top-notch certified instructors, and get real-world experience. And the best part, you can graduate debt-free in just 1 to 2 years. Ready to make the move? Log on to careerinayear.com or call 305-558-8000. MDCPS Technical Colleges, your best choice for a brighter future. I mean, come on. Did I nail that?
9.8.
What did I get? 0.2
there
taken
was,
off?
There was a couple of letters in there that you kind of stumbled a little bit. I looked up at Jimmy, and Jimmy was looking at me. Oh, no, I mean, 9.8, that's good. I'm the East German judge. Come on, man. You're great. You're gravy.
Jimmy? I don't know why I'm asking Jimmy. Jimmy?
About the same, because you did stumble there in the beginning.
Where did I stumble in the beginning?
We'll roll the tape back.
We'll roll it.
9.8's good.
We'll review the tape.
Appel.
And come back.
If a lovely lady said you're a 9.8 out of 10, you'd say, woo!
Well, very different conversation. Number one, because I've never been told that in my life. So that would be...
I can't even see 9.8.
Let's get to the training camp report. David Fronis of the Sun Sentinel. Of course, I'm sure by now everybody knows Kendall Fuller wore the orange jersey in yesterday's joint practice against his former team, the Washington Commanders. And a little bit of practice... scrimmage revenge closed out the session with an interception of Jaden Daniels after Daniels had torched the Dolphins defense. I think it was 5 touchdowns I saw earlier in the practice session. Recently released defensive tackle Tierre Tart signed with the Chargers yesterday. I don't know if you guys covered that. And then today, Joe Shad of the Palm Beach. Jeez, I got all my mistakes away from that read and made them all in everything that I was covering here in the actual report. So Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post wrote about Chop Robinson today. Article came out this morning. Highly recommend you read it. He's expected to make his professional debut tomorrow at Hard Rock Stadium against the Commanders, which was his dad's favorite team. Grew up within 50 miles of both the Ravens and the Commanders. Chop grew up a Ravens fan, playing his dad's favorite team tomorrow night. Mike McDaniel, after the first game of the preseason against Atlanta, said that if this were a regular season game, Chop would have definitely played. He is going to play tomorrow, expected to, after missing the first game of the preseason with a minor injury. And I haven't been on the show at all this week, and I know it's been a big topic of conversation, and one I'm very close to. I'll, on the front end, reiterate the biases that I may have as it pertains to the following conversation. But after the article Dave Hyde wrote in the Sun Sentinel, after the conversations that have gone on over multiple days on this very radio program, I also want to comment on the Ryan Tannehill phenomenon, or whatever you want to call it, that's been going on in the media and on this show and on this radio station this week. I get why some might be frustrated. And I get why some people might want to bring in a guy like Ryan Tannehill. I don't not understand it. I think that on the front end, a lot of people forget how they felt about Ryan Tannehill when he was a Dolphin. And I think Solana's initial response kind of captured that very well. I am in the camp that this market gave him a lot more flack than maybe he deserved. I think it's very unfortunate that the season that they finally seem to be putting everything together under Adam Gase, the Jay Ajayi year, Tannehill hurt his knee, missed the rest of the season. Matt Moore ended up playing in the playoff game for the Dolphins, so we never really got to see Tannehill play in a playoff game as a Dolphin. I happen to think that he was a lot better than he got credit for when he was here. And then he goes to Tennessee, had a really, really good year in 21 with them. And I think proved a lot of the doubters that he had wrong. I mean, they went on a pretty impressive run during his time, at the beginning at least, first few seasons with the Titans. But the idea that he is a candidate to be brought in here as the backup quarterback for Tua, I don't see it. For a number of reasons. And we could start with an off-the-field reason. All right? And again, I know my bias when it comes to this. And I like to consider myself a professional. I cover this league. It'll be my eighth season calling games in this league. I like to think that I'm able to separate certain things and look at these things objectively. But natural biases come in. But I just want to lay out my opinion. And again, I understand maybe why some folks have come to the conclusion and come to the decision that they would maybe like to see the Dolphins kick the tires on this. But Tua Tagovailoa is coming off of the best season of his career last year. Played in every single game, which means he stayed healthy. Put up top five numbers across multiple categories. Led the league in certain categories. Of course, we obviously saw the disappointing finish to last season. But if you don't think that the dynamic of the personalities in that quarterback room, in addition to the culture that Mike McDaniel had created, in addition to just the general rebuilding of Tua's confidence, the dynamic of that room changed once Teddy Bridgewater was a free agent and left, and they added Mike White, Skylar Thompson, to that room. I know Skylar was obviously there a year prior already during his rookie season. But that trio was such a well-put-together room. They all get along. They're all there to support each other. Not to say that Teddy Bridgewater wasn't previously, but it has been reported that Teddy Bridgewater was brought in initially to maybe compete for the starting job and beat out Tua. Now, seems very delusional to think that, but it has been widely reported that that was part of the reason why he signed with the Dolphins. And there was a weird, I don't want to say schism between them, because I don't think they didn't get along. I just think that the room dynamics were different because of, I guess, the reason Teddy came in the first place. I don't think it's a good idea to blow that whole thing up 1 year after your franchise quarterback, who you just gave a massive extension to, had his best career season. And this Dolphins offense performed at a level that we haven't seen. Ryan Tannehill, going to be 36 years old this year, coming off an ankle injury that opened the door for the Titans last year to go to Will Levis. And Will Levis was not a perfect prospect coming out. A lot of tools, but very raw. In fact, I called his debut 4 touchdowns. Against the Falcons last season. We saw what he did against the Dolphins on that Monday night game. Cost the Dolphins a home playoff game. Cost the Dolphins the division. But there was a lot in between where Levis was left in as the starter because Tennessee wanted to see what they had in him. They were done with Ryan Tannehill. Coming off an injury, 35 at the time, going to be 36 years old. And while I think Tannehill is better than he gets credit for, I think there's also a reason that he's still not with a team. But if you look at his production before Ryan Tannehill, or excuse me, before they went to Will Levis, before Tannehill got hurt, he started 8 games. They were 3-5. He had 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. His QBR was a tick over 35, and his quarterback rating was 78.5. And again, he's 36 now. It's not like we saw Ryan Tannehill playing at a high level in either of the last 2 seasons, especially last year before he got hurt. Now, let's just compare that. We can throw out last year because Mike White only played in certain mop-up situations. I'm going to get to headlines in a second. I'm almost done here, I promise. Mike White in his four games as a starter for the Jets in 2022. Three touchdowns, four interceptions. Obviously, not lighting the world on fire. A comparable quarterback rating, 75.7 to Tannehill's 78.5. And a better QBR by a few points. In three of those four games that Mike White started for the Jets in 2022, threw for at least 265 yards and twice over 300 yards. I'm pretty sure over the last decade, and this speaks more to the struggles of the Jets, obviously, but Mike White has three of the top 10 quarterback performances going back like 20 years for the Jets. So this idea that he's incapable of playing for a stretch of four or five games for this team and doing a serviceable, if not good job, I think it's a bit misguided if we're basing that on one half of football at the end of the first preseason game when he had a receiver wearing number 42, a receiver who was signed 2 days prior, one running back remaining that was going to still play in the game, and the same goes for their tight end. I just don't know what people expect the result to be when that's all going on around him. And I will not argue that the numbers look good for Mike White in the second half. I won't. I mean, it is what it is. But if you can't look at that and the context of what was going on around him, I just don't know what people expected that to look like. And I'll give that same grace to Skylar Thompson as well. He obviously did not have the full complement of second teamers and third teamers that were out there. And I think there was a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot, I think there was some good. And obviously Skylar struggled. But this idea that all of a sudden, after one half of a preseason game, game number one, by the way, with an incredibly shorthanded supporting cast, that we're writing off both backup quarterbacks and the backup quarterback from last year that is well-liked by everybody in the organization, including in that room, I think we need to take a step back for a second and really think about this. Because I think the energy is very misplaced. And it feels like we're trying to find something to gin up or come up with to talk about, because everything else is pretty much set in stone on this roster going into week one. I don't dislike generally the idea of Ryan Tannehill coming in as the backup quarterback, but you have two guys who I would argue are capable. Mike White especially has had proven performances in real NFL games, not preseason. He's also not 36 years old coming off of an injury. And he's been in this offense now for a second consecutive season. You're telling me that it's a good idea to bring in a backup quarterback who's 36 years old coming off of an injury and having him learn an entirely new offense in the 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and that's if they sign him today, that he'll be ready by the regular season? Like, we have to think practically about this stuff, and we also have to come back to reality.
Yeah, and Tannehill's
this
not going to take...
thing's not happening.
Tannehill's not going to take a discount either. Everybody's like, well, we're going to get him for cheap. He's not going to take less than Mike White's getting, because he's going to say, look at my resume. I should make as much, if not more.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Mike White's getting paid, if he makes the team, $3.5 million.
Okay,
this year. He got $4.5 million guaranteed last year. He'll make $3.5 million if and when he's still on the team when final roster cuts are made. The Dolphins for this season are a hair above $20 million in available cap space. $3.5 million is a drop in the bucket. They are not up against the cap where that $3.5 million for this season is going to make a difference. He's not signed after this year, so it's not like it's a long-term play either. So just all the noise around this just feels like noise. And that's where I'm at on this. And again, I know that my bias is very well demonstrated on this show, but I'm really trying to look at this objectively, and I don't understand the narrative in the first place. I really don't. It just feels like something to talk about during the preseason, during training camp. And of course, both guys, Skylar and Mike, they'll get a chance, two more in the preseason, to perform better, and hopefully it goes well for them. Let's get the headlines.
Headlines brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Those Dolphins, they do host the Washington Commanders tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Pregame starts at 3, and the postgame will follow right here on 560 WQAM. The Eagles had an 11-point fourth quarter to overcome the Patriots 14-13 last night. Play resumes tomorrow with a slew of games. The first up, a noon one between the Ravens and the Falcons. And then at 7:31, if you're a Dolphins fan, you want to keep an eye on because your Week 3 preseason opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are going to be taking on Miami's Week 1 regular season opponent, the Jaguars.
I watched some of that Eagles-Patriots game last night. Mm-hmm. Drake May looks very impressive.
Looked all right.
There was also a big trade that the Patriots made. They got rid of Matthew Judon and acquired a third-round pick. And Adam Beasley, who will join us in the next segment, and we'll ask him about this, was theorizing the Dolphins' interest, potentially, in Matthew Judon could have something to do with Bradley Chubb's recovery from his ACL injury. But we'll get to Adam Beasley in the next segment and talk about that.
The NBA released their full season schedules yesterday. Miami opens at home Wednesday, October 23rd, against the Orlando Magic.
Can't believe it's time for that already. Panthers are going to start training camp in less than a month, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's like 30 days away.
Yeah.
Something like that. Wow. Hard to believe. I was told, now I didn't look at the full schedule, that the Heat and the Pelicans play New Year's Day. So that's going to be something exciting, at least for me. I don't know if the rest of the world cares that much, but
this show, too. This show loves Zion.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They're going to make jokes about instead of getting drunk, he got fat on a buffet or something like that for New Year's Eve.
Play the hits.
Crowder loves Zion.
Oh, he's made that quite clear.
Yeah.
Kyle Schwarber, he hit a fourth inning grand slam that helped lift the Phillies past the Marlins with a final score of 9-5 tonight. The Fish, they face the Mets at 7 o'clock.
Who's pitching for the Marlins tonight?
I did not see who's pitching for the Marlins tonight, but I know who's not pitching for the Marlins tonight. Anthony Bender. He's on that 15-day IL. No designation was given to his injury.
Yeah, Anthony Bender has been dealing with injuries quite a bit over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, missed all of last year because of Tommy John surgery. So hopefully he's able to come back healthy and ready. If he's out for the rest of this season, ready for next year.
Rodri Munoz is pitching tonight.
Ah, Rodri Munoz. Listen, man. You could talk about the Marlins and being upset about who they traded away, but they've been quite competitive since the All-Star break. They're right in the middle of the pack, right around 500 since the All-Star break. They've got Xavier Edwards hitting close to 360. Jake Berger's been the best power hitter in baseball since the All-Star break. Look, I know it's not sexy, and I know a lot of the names are new to a lot of people, but there are still some exciting players in this lineup that you can look forward to watching for the next few years.
No, for sure. Absolutely. I keep an eye on him no matter what. Speaking of injuries, though, Coach Tata Martino admits the team does not know when Lionel Messi will return from an ankle injury following Miami's loss, though, to Columbus Crew earlier this week. They were eliminated from Leafs Cup play, so they get some time off this weekend. They play next Saturday when they host FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, we'll talk to Chris Whittingham about that later on in the show as well. U.S. Men's National Team, Inter Miami. And where the Herons will be going from there. He's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
Did you see Bill Zito taking the Stanley Cup back to his hometown of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and running it around town?
I did, actually. We've talked about this before when I filled in. I love all the pictures with the cup, with various staff members, various players. It's really cool to see these guys bring it back to their hometowns.
You know what I love seeing? Carter Verhaeghe marrying a model, Casey Ingleson, in Palm Beach recently.
Congrats to the Verhaeghes.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And Jim Harbaugh says Colin Kaepernick will not be on the Chargers staff this year. Of course, he coached the former quarterback in San Francisco.
That I would imagine the only way he gets anywhere near the league again is in that kind of capacity. Every year we do this thing right before the season starts where somebody from Kaepernick's camp or somebody will just wants to gin up, speaking of ginning things up, gin up some controversy, and they'll just throw out into the ether that Colin Kaepernick is eyeing a return to the league. I feel like we have done that story every single season for the last 5 years.
On to weather from the Mesman and Dover Law Firm, your accidentattorneys.com. It is rainy here in El Portal / Little River. Kind of going to be rainy throughout the rest of the day through most parts of South Florida. That is your weather.
All right. Adam Beasley of Pro Football Network is coming up next. He will talk some Dolphins with us leading into their preseason game number 2 against the Commanders tomorrow night. That's next on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
On the mound for the Marlins, number 49, Pillows.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
4 o'clock hour on Hawk and Crowder. Josh Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Dan Day and Jimmy also here. We're now joined by Adam Beasley of Pro Football Network on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Bees, thanks for taking the time. Let's start here. Dolphins playing tomorrow, second preseason game against the Commanders. We saw, 40 guys sit out the game against the Falcons. I would imagine that number will be significantly smaller tomorrow night. And so let's start there. Will Tua and other starters that, I guess, let me ask it this way. Which starters, Tua Tagovailoa included, do you expect to see tomorrow night that we didn't see in the first game?
Well, considering we didn't see any starter and really any player that had a chance of being a starter or a significant contributor in game one, we're going to see a lot of those guys play tomorrow. Will we see Tua? Historically, yes. Tua does play in the second preseason game under Mike McDaniel. You know, even if there's concerns about, hey, no Tron Armstead, no Aaron Brewer, no Jalen Waddle, those three guys will not play. Is it still worth it? And my guess is they're going to think yes, it is, to get him a couple series. I think last year in that second preseason game, he played 15 snaps. 2 or 3 series, something like that. If it's anything more than that, I'd be surprised.
Odell Beckham was in the news this week. I think he was it one of those aggregate accounts he took aim at on Twitter for comparing his situation to what Will Fuller did while he was a Miami Dolphin.
Right.
I'm going to leave this question open-ended for you. What's going on with Odell Beckham?
That is a question I wish I had a concrete answer for, Josh. It's a little mysterious for sure, the fact that he has not practiced now 4 months into his time with the Miami Dolphins wasn't a huge surprise. He didn't do anything in the spring. A lot of guys didn't do much of anything in the spring. But the fact that he's still now on PUP, and they're 3 weeks in now, like their first training camp practice was 23 days ago, so they're well into the to the preseason, and there still isn't any definitive word as to when he's going to return. That is a bit alarming. We saw him out there doing rehab work yesterday. He's been doing a lot of rehab work throughout the time of training camp, but every time we ask, has he closed? We ask Tua if he's thrown to OBJ, and his response is like, well, basically stationary. Like he's gotten the feel of how the ball comes off my hand, the reverse spin, but we haven't had a chance to run routes yet. When you hear those things, when you hear Mike McDaniel not giving a real inspirational feel as to when he's going to be available, aside from we expect him at some point, you do get a little worried. Now they might be lowering expectations, so when he does come back a week or two before the start of the season, it's good vibes, not bad, I guess. But it's really strange that a guy that, we thought was going to be a big part of this offense still hasn't practiced. He has certainly a long, long injury history. He's torn the ACL in the same knee twice. Perhaps he's got some, swelling in that knee. Perhaps there's some arthritis. All these things you would think about with a guy with chronic knee issues might be a concern. We don't see him out there with a brace, with a sleeve, any of those things that would be a telltale sign as to what body part it would be. All we know is whatever it is, it predated his time in Miami. Long-winded way of answering, we don't know for sure. I wouldn't have a high level of concern at this point that it's, season-ending or anything like that. They still believe he's on track. And who knows, maybe he's out there for practice next week. But the fact that they can't say definitively, hey, he's close to returning, is a little surprising.
My wife loves Love Island, and Odell's brother is on the show, and they, I guess, were talking about it. This is her report. They were talking about his brother making it down to Miami for a game. So I hope, for the sake of Love Island and Odell's brother, that he's able to play at some point here early on in the season to get his brother down to a game. And that's important.
I love how you worded that to throw us all off the scent that it's not you who binge watch that trashy show.
She watches it, and there's like 30 something episodes. I've never seen anything like that. How does anybody have the time for 30 something episodes of Love Island?
Well, I mean, we all make choices in life, and I guess some people that's a priority.
Adam Beasley of Pro Football Network joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, talking some Dolphins before their preseason game tomorrow against the Commanders. You theorized, Adam, yesterday, because there was reported interest by the Dolphins in Matthew Judon, that it could or may have something to do with Bradley Chubb's timetable. Do you wish to expand on that at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, this is a team that's well up against the 2025 salary cap. I think there's something like $70 million, anywhere between $50 and $70 million projected over the cap next year. They have Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips and Chop Robinson and Mo Kamara all under contract next year. Why would you go and trade for, or even inquire about trading for, yet another edge defender when you have all those guys, unless you had some level of concern about Bradley Chubb? Now, Mike McDaniel came out yesterday and said definitively no setbacks. We like where he's at, all these things. That could all be true, but the timeline still all along might be October, right? A torn ACL is a 9 to 12 month recovery, and he had that torn ACL on New Year's Eve. So 9 months forward, September 30th, October 1st, would be the beginning of the window, and that kind of syncs up more or less with when he could come off a PUP if he starts the season on that list. I would, just based on everything we've seen, the fact that they inquired about Judon, the fact that Chubb remains on PUP, the fact that it's a 9 to 12 month rehab for torn ACL, I would be surprised if he starts the season on the active roster. And, it technically might be correct that he hasn't suffered a setback, but it's not like they're expecting him back tomorrow. And the activity, the level and intensity of activity we saw Jalen Phillips rehabbing his Achilles out during practice, we haven't seen that same kind of intensity and volume out of Bradley Chubb. He's out there at practice watching, being a great teammate. He is one of the most beloved players in that locker room. But I do think all the contextual clues suggest, including the Judon inquiry, suggest it still could be a minute until Bradley Chubb gets back in the lineup.
That I'm still blown away by the Jalen Phillips recovery. Let's switch gears to the offensive side of the ball. And you know, this is an issue that is very near and dear to me. In fact, you and I have talked about this a bit over text. I did a whole spiel on it in the first segment today. But my question to you is, can we stop with the Ryan Tannehill stuff? That just feels like a creation for the sake of writing about something. It really does.
Look, I'm going to tread carefully there because there might be some at WQAM who have a personal relationship with one of the backups on the Miami Dolphins. Not naming any names. Not
it's been
specific.
Disclosed. Don't worry.
What's that?
Said it's been disclosed. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. With all due respect and treading carefully because of that relationship, neither of those guys have lit the world on fire this summer. And, certainly if there's a significant injury to Tua Tagovailoa, the season's going to probably be shot regardless. But you need as your backup a guy that you have a level of confidence in can get you through 2, 3, 4 games if it's a short-term injury. And what we've seen so far hasn't been hugely, hugely awe-inspiring. Now, certainly, there have been extenuating circumstances. Last week was, I don't know if anybody in the second half could have had great production, considering, you know, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth stringers that were out there learning the plays on the fly. But all that being said, I do think it's interesting that they haven't come out yet and said, okay, here's our plan at backup quarterback. This is who's leading. They still say it's neck and neck, and neither of which have lit the world on fire. So do I think Ryan Tannehill is a panacea, that he's going to come in here and solve problems? No. But I do think just the fact that the conversation exists is an acknowledgement that neither of these guys have been great so far this summer. That all can change beginning tomorrow night. I think it's a big advantage to both those guys that there's going to be a lot more starters playing because of the trickle-down effect. By the time they get on the field, there's still going to be pretty solid players available for them to throw to. Hold on, though.
Who is this conversation happening between? It's happening on our end of things. We don't know that the Tannehill conversation is happening internally.
No, absolutely not. There's not been a shred, a breath, a rumor coming from the organization right. That they're pursuing Ryan Tannehill, obviously. I'm just giving the context as why something like this can have oxygen, and it's just that neither of those guys have been great so far this summer. Again, that all can change. Maybe they go out to Tampa and light the world on fire. Maybe they have a really great game tomorrow. Maybe there's separation of one versus the other. But the fact that Tua does have a long and pretty public history of injuries. The fact that this is a year that they see great things for this team, if they get the level of play out of the quarterback they need, I don't think it's crazy that some people would have the idea that maybe they would go find an upgrade in the quarterback market because that's just the kind of the reality of the situation right now.
My last thing on this, I just at this point, 36-year-old Ryan Tannehill to me is not that vast of an improvement having to learn a new offense amount of time they bring him in here.
It's not fantasy football, right? And McDaniel's offense it's not cut and paste. Like you need some time in that system to really be able to operate it. And so I think you're right at that. Even if they think, hey, maybe from a talent standpoint, Tannehill's 10% better than what we have, that 10% gets wiped away if he takes a month to learn the system. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah, and look, it was a couple years ago, but it's really the last extended look we've had at him. Like, we've seen Mike White perform multiple times and win games in real games in the National Football League. Moving on. I get the last word. I want to ask you about the kickoff rule, because a couple of rules, actually. Number one, what are the guys that you've had a chance to talk to, whether it's Danny Cross and whether it's the guys on special teams, what do they think about the new kickoff rule now that we've seen it through 1 week plus of the NFL preseason?
Yeah, it's going to be an evolving thing, I think, through the entire regular season. And I think what we're seeing now is as bland, vanilla, uninspiring as we're going to possibly see. I think they have a whole ton of things that they have in store. Are they going to have offensive linemen, running on the returns or blocking? Are they going to have, linebackers, safeties? What kind of body shape do you need? What kind of speed is the best way to do it? Do you have one or two deep backs? All these things, they're not going to tell us. They're not going to show us. And I think even it helps the Dolphins that there's going to be a regular season game played before they play, so they can get real-life film on, hey, okay, now we've seen two of them. Actually, there's games Thursday and Friday, the first week of the season. We've got four teams now that have tried to go through this. What can we learn? And I think you're going to constantly see and it's a copycat league. It's going to happen regardless. But I think you're going to regularly
copycat league.
It's not a copycat league.
No, I'm saying copycat league.
It's true. Like how many the jet motions that we can get into that nonsense if you want, but the jet motions, you know, not going the whole way across the formation, but lining up a tight end and sprinting to the boundary. Mike McDaniel basically invented that, and I saw that a month into the college football season at like Big 12 games. Like it's crazy. Like if something works, every level, every coach is going to try to steal it. And I think if something works in the first 48 hours of the season, don't be surprised if Danny Crossman tries to, maybe not week one, but week two, week three, really incorporate that into his plan. So I think there's a lot of excitement. I think there's a lot of unknown. We had a chance to chat with the officials that were in town this past week, and even they are kind of like, it's going to be an adventure because we don't know what to expect. So all I can say is it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm glad they added that rule because the kickoff had become a non-play. I mean, it was just not a competitive play anymore the way it had trended. And anything to bring that back in a safe manner I think is good for the game.
Last rule question for you, then I got one after this. You mentioned the meeting with the officials that you guys had. Mm-hmm. Some news came out of that and some controversy, as our 5 o'clock hour guest Chris Whittingham would say, regarding that motion rule that you talked about. There was a report by a national publication that shares a very similar name to yours, but is not the same. Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio came out and basically said, yeah, the league's banning the Dolphins motion that they run offensively. David Fironis leaves this officials meeting and says that's bunk from Mike Florio and he needs to relearn how to read the NFL rulebook. What did you glean from these conversations, and who's right, PFT or Fironis?
Well, I mean, seeing as that we all heard the same thing Fironis did because we were all in the same meeting, I'm gonna be Team David on this one, all right? Because, look, we all get things wrong occasionally in this business. I think it's wise to see who gets things wrong more often than not. I'm not saying that's the case with PFT, but keep this in mind going forward when you hear something that just doesn't really seem to pass the sniff test. The NFL, the line that they added to the rule book that he was absolutely convinced was in reference to the Dolphins was about a tight end. They're not going to penalize so much a player going from a two-point stance to a three-point stance thinking it simulates the snap. And that's really what the language is about. It was not about the Dolphins at all. It's always been illegal to turn upfield before the ball is snapped. It's never going to change. It's never going to be the CFL. And it's not even a point of emphasis. Like, it's not like these officials came to Dolphins camp this past week and said, hey, guys, I know you're getting away with a quarter second too quick moving. We're gonna be on you this year. None of that's happened. I don't know what happened with Florio, why he got some bad information, but it was not accurate.
He claimed it was from the actual rule book. Last question for you. Speaking of the sniff test, I loved this quarterback class that came out in this draft. You got a chance to watch a couple days of Jaden Daniels. You're going to get a chance to watch him tomorrow night in the preseason play against the Dolphins. Does Jaden Daniels, after watching him up close this week, does he pass your sniff test?
Well, he certainly lit up the Dolphins' defense in red zone. I think he had 5 touchdowns in the span of 10 plays, I believe. That looks pretty good to me. Certainly, there's a long, long, long way to go. But see, when he starts really seeing exotic blitzes, all these, you know, disguise coverages, all these things that the teams are going to do to confuse him. But I certainly like, you know, and May had a strong game last night. Wasn't great, but I certainly like the top end of that draft a lot. And I think it's, if you were going to get a quarterback in the draft, if you needed one, you knew this was the year. And I think it's the reason, obviously, the Vikings are heartbroken about what happened to JJ, but there's a reason they went and got that guy, because next year's draft is not good at quarterback at all. Guys can emerge, things can change, but just usually you go into the season, the college football season, with 3, 4, 5 guys to watch. I don't know if it's 1 or 2 this year. It's going to be a pretty bleak if you need a quarterback in the draft. I think it's great for those teams that got theirs this year. And I also think, tying it all together, the Dolphins, I think it's a reason it was so important for them to get that deal done with him when they did, because trying to find a replacement would be incredibly difficult, particularly with how the draft is shaping up. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think those young guys are encouraging. I'm going to withhold judgment until I see them in a real game. But, yeah, good start for sure.
Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network, joining us here on Hawk and Crowder. As always, thank you, Bees. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Josh, I'm happy to do it, my friend.
Hey, I appreciate you. 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour coming up next on Hawk and Crowder after this.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
If you're always winning, then you don't really understand what it is to win. There's got to be the valleys, the peaks, the ups, the downs. ¿Tú me entiendes lo que te estoy diciendo?
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.